Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're talking once again with our most frequent guest on the show. He's had a decades-long career as a cartoonist, graphic artist, filmmaker, and animation director. And he's coming to town to show his new feature film, Slide, at the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. Bill Plimpton, always great to have you on Words and Pictures.
Well, wonderful to be here. Good to see you. Looking forward to coming out to Oregon and seeing my family and all my friends.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's start by talking about Slide. This is something of a tribute to rural Oregon.
Yes, it is. I grew up in the timberland of near Estacada, outside of Oregon City. So I have a lot of experience with lumber towns and lumber trucks and guys that chop down trees and everything. So I wanted to make a cowboy film, a Western about that lifestyle. Obviously, it's a cartoon. It's very crazy. It's very weird. There's probably more bad guys in this film than any other film in Hollywood history, because I love drawing bad guys. I love drawing the eye patches and the scars on the face and the missing ears and the beards and all that crazy stuff. So it was a real treat for me to make this film.
So when you were growing up in the 1950s, Oregon's economy was still all about timber. You talk about Oregon City being a mill town, Estacada, which was a little ways out. So there must have been some guys still around who were rough and tumble characters from the early part of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know them. Although I worked in a local grocery store, they would come in, but I never hung out with them. But also in the 50s, I was really bitten, like a lot of other kids, with the bug of being a cowboy. I really wanted to be a cowboy. So this film was sort of a blend of the timberland kind of atmosphere, kind of locale, and the cowboy. So it's kind of like a Clint Eastwood film. This stranger comes into town. You're not sure whether he's real or he's a phantom or he's just someone's imagination. Comes into town and rids the town of its corruption. It's got a very corrupt mayor and his brother who are running the place, and they murder a lot of innocent people. And so this guy, Slide is his name, because he plays slide guitar, like that, and comes into town and cleans up the town, not with violence, but with music. It's the music that solves the problem of corruption.
And you were not just into art and movies as a kid, but you were also into music. And, you've done some amateur twanging yourself.
Amateur is right. No, I had a lap steel guitar. I actually had a pedal steel guitar, too, for a while. But that was just took too much work to learn how to play it. It had like six pedals and four knee levers, and it's just too complicated. But I did play lap steel. I played in bars and clubs here in New York with my friend Maureen McKellarin, who also wrote the music for this film. Her and Hank Bones did the music. And so Maureen and I were in a band in New York in the 70s and 80s. But the problem was, if I was to do animation, it takes a lot of hours, because I have to do every drawing myself, and it's hundreds and thousands of drawings. So I realized I couldn't have two careers at the same time. So I chose animation, which I'm glad I did, because I wasn't a great musician. I didn't practice every day, but I'm glad that the animation thing worked out so well.
You were actually part of a big family on a big plot of land in Oregon City, yes, going down all the way to the Clackamas River.
Yeah, I fondly remember my summers in Oregon and going down there early in the morning and swimming all day long, just hanging out in the river. It was a little chilly back then. It's warmer now because of global warming, but once you got in that cold water, it felt so good. And that's why I love swimming every day whenever I can.
And your family goes back a ways in the Pacific Northwest.
They do. They're from Corvallis and Salem. Both of them are from Corvallis and Salem. And then they moved to Portland, and that's where they found the house on the Clackamas River. So it was really nice. Also, I made another film out there called Guns on the Clackamas. And that was a live action film. It was a mockumentary, sort of like the Spinal Tap kind of thing. And that we brought horses down there and cowboys down there and shot wagon trains, all sorts of Western paraphernalia. So that was a lot of fun. And we spent a lot of time shooting on the Clackamas River. Then when the day of shooting is done, we'd sit around the campfire, drink beer, and go swimming naked. So it was a real Oregon experience.
Yeah, Guns in the Clackamas, that was a mockumentary about a really terrible filmmaker. It featured cameos by filmmaker Gus Van Sant and Pink Martini frontman Thomas Lauderdale.
Yeah, Walt Curtis was in there too, I think, for a little bit. Can I tell you a little bit about what's going on with Slide? Because people are going to
Talk some more about Slide for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been doing very well in the festival circuit. I think it's won 7 prizes and does very well with the audiences. And we're getting a lot of interest from distributors. I think we have 3 or 4 distributors who are interested in it, but we got to talk about the rules, you know, what I want out of it, what they want out of it. We got to sort that out. But I'm hoping that it'll come out either in the fall or the winter of this year. And I will obviously be flying around the different cities to help promote the film. And we're hoping to get Oscar interest. So we'll see about that, because I think the film is one of the best films I've ever made. It's very different than any other kind of Western you've ever seen. It's very, very bizarre, very twisted. And we showed a rough cut of it out there and when I came out there last year. And this year, it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. All the color's done. And all the sound is perfect. And everybody who comes to the screening, I don't care how many people come, everybody who comes gets a free drawing. I will do a sketch for you of Slide, the guy, the star of the film. Or I'll do a sketch of the dog, my guard dog. So I'll have cards for everybody.
And here in town, the Oregon premiere of Bill's new animated feature Slide. It's taking place on Thursday, August 22nd at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And the reception afterwards is where you'll be handing out the autographs and the drawings.
Yes.
And you took the film to Annecy, the big animation festival in France.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it wasn't done then. So it was kind of a sticky situation because I had to get up there and apologize that it was a work in progress. So it was supposed to be in competition and they were supposed to judge on it, but they couldn't because it wasn't a finished film. So that was a big mistake on my part. But even so, the people liked it a lot when I showed it in Annecy. And I always loved going to Annecy.
So we mentioned, you know, you're inspired by the Clackamas River. Well, we talked about Guns on the Clackamas, talked about Walt Curtis, and you've done a couple of live action features, and one of them is actually available in a set with Gus Van Sant's first film, Mala Noche. And it's a documentary that you directed called Walt Curtis, the Peckerneck Poet. It came out in 1997, but it was kind of you and Walt, the unofficial poet laureate of Portland, driving around talking about the crazy town and the parts of Oregon that you grew up in earlier in the 20th century.
Well, he grew up about a mile from me. I didn't know that at the time. He went to the same high school. And then when I went to Portland State, that's where I really ran into him and fell in love with his art, his poems. They were just like my cartoons. They were very outrageous. They were adult. They had a lot of sexual stories in there and a lot of humor. And I loved his sense of humor. So I felt a certain kinship to Walt. And we hung out a lot while I was doing that film. And it was a total joy. It was like a party every day, you know, driving around to certain Portland locations and having him read a poem. So yeah, check it out. Walt Curtis, Peckerneck Poet. It's really one of my favorite films that I did.
So you and Walt, you didn't run into each other so much in Oregon City, but you had both sort of decamped to Portland at the same time.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I'd go and watch him perform at the Euphoria or whatever club that he was performing in. And I was a big fan.
Now, when you went to Portland State University, it was the 1960s. You did a lot of illustration and cartoons for the newspaper, the student newspaper, The Vanguard, the yearbook. Yeah. You worked on the film committee as well.
Boy, you really did your research. That's funny. I was going through my file, flat files just the other day, and I discovered some posters I did for the film committee that are really kind of nice. I mean, they were really simple. It wasn't like the big San Francisco Fillmore East posters or Fillmore West posters, but they were really highly designed and beautiful posters. So I'm glad I still have those because I'd forgotten all about that chapter in my life.
You could probably raise some money selling those.
I probably could, but I like looking at them and having them around. So,
Yeah, hang on to those.
yeah.
Well, that time, there's a lot of ferment going on in Portland at that time. You were working with Bob Summers at the film committee at PSU, and he went on to co-found the Northwest Film Center along with Brooke Jacobson.
That's right. Very good. And then also, I did the yearbook, and it was a really big year for the yearbook because it got an article in the New York Times about it. It was very scandalous that they had a full-color nude spread, like Playboy foldout, in the yearbook, and people were shocked about that. I was on the yearbook staff then, but I did not make the decision of showing a nude artist model, but I thought it was kind of nice. I liked it.
So that was a drawing or a photograph of a life drawing model?
Yeah, a photograph. David Harriman was the art director, and he was a brilliant artist. Really, I wish I kept up with him because I don't know where he lives anymore. But he's such an influence on me. And him and Mel Katz was another big influence. And he really changed my whole drawing style through his drawing classes.
Mel Katz was best known as the husband of Vera Katz, the mayor back in the 1990s.
Yep. Well, he was a great teacher and a great artist too, really great artist. Oh, I do want to tell you one story about Portland. I know you want to hear the Portland stories. I did a bunch of cartoons for the Argonian. Actually, I did one cartoon for the Argonian as a caricature. I forget who it was. And they loved it. And so they hired me to do a whole spread of political cartoons of all the people running for Congress in Oregon, all the people running for governor and all that stuff. And it was a big hit. I mean, my folks couldn't believe I did this whole page of caricatures. So I was a golden boy as far as the Oregonian was concerned. And that's a good thing. I'm happy about that because I love working for the Oregonian because my folks never thought I'd make it as a cartoonist. So they were excited that I did so well at the Oregonian. And then I got a phone call from the managing editor. I forget his name now. And he wanted to do a big article, a huge article about nuclear energy, how cool it is, how nice nuclear energy is. And of course, these were the days when nuclear energy was really bad. It was scary, and Three Mile Island happened, I think. So it was really a bad time for nuclear energy. And I said, I really love working for the Argonian, but on this one, I'll have to pass. And man, he freaked out. He thought he owned me, I guess. And he banned me from the Argonian. I was blackballed. And I never worked for the Argonian again, which is too bad because I could have done anything for the Argonian. They were so happy with my work. So that's the way life is in a big city.
Wow, no, I've never heard that story before. You talked about Oregon City High School briefly. That was an inspiration for Hair High, and that was your big budget film. And it featured voice work by some big name actors.
Yeah. My cousin, Martha Plimpton, I talked to her about my lack of success selling my films to big distributors. And she's volunteered to collect these really great voiceover artists, David and Martha, of course, Sarah Silverman. Oh, gosh, a whole bunch of really good artists. But the film just ran out of money. And the ending, which was supposed to be really powerful and long and strong, I ran out of money, so I couldn't do it. Oh yeah, David Carradine and Keith Carradine were both in it. So that was my another disappointment that I wasn't able to finish it. I should do it now, now that I make more money. So maybe I will.
Special edition.
Yeah, special edition. Yeah, that's it. The director's cut.
Help us. Help us. He's getting time here, he's sprouting hairy legs with every bite he takes. He's chewed up all the pine trees, he's gulped down all the lakes. The posse's out to get him, they'll try and bring him in. Go ahead and chase it, boys, you know you'll never win.
The Bug from Hell.
Now that was a little bit of music from the animated feature film Slide, directed by our guest today. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we're talking today with cartoonist, filmmaker, and animation director Bill Plimpton. He's coming to town to show his new feature film Slide at the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. You were doing cartoons, and you ended up doing cartoons for quite a while, but your first love was animation. Yeah. The problem was, well, Walt Disney had died in 1966 and animation was in a slump, at least studio animation.
Yes. Well, except for Hanna-Barbera, which I hated that stuff. It really wasn't animation. So I thought that my career as an animator was pretty much done. So that's when I went to New York and became an illustrator and gag cartoonist and caricature artist. But the good thing about that, I did a newspaper comic strip that was in about 20 papers, was I learned how to draw fast. And when you're doing animation, hundreds of drawings a day, you have to be able to draw fast and get a nice style. And I came up with ideas, how to come up with funny ideas. And so the syndicated strip was actually a nice segue into animation, which I started around 1984 with a film called Boomtown.
That strip, was that your political cartoon, Plimpton?
Yes. Yeah, Plimpton. Yeah, right. It started out in Soho Weekly News in New York, and then it got syndicated.
Well, before you went to New York, while you were still at PSU in the late 60s, you were at a film festival in Portland, and you ran into a local ad man, a guy who produced and directed industrial films.
Yeah, you want to hear that story? It was the Portland International Animation Festival, and it wasn't a big festival. It was something that was just like 2 or 3 years. But I went there, and I saw these industrials. I don't know if they still make industrials, but they're long ads, like 20-minute ads for Evinrude Motors or White Stag or Janssen, something like that. And they were hilarious. They were like Monty Python in advertising. You know, it was so dry. The humor was really dry. And so the filmmaker was there, and I came up to him sheepishly and said, "Man, your stuff is great. You're so funny. I wish I could do that in animation." And he said, "Well, I have more up in my house. Why don't you come follow me? I'll show you some more of my film." So I went up there, and as I came through the door, I saw this 14-year-old kid laying on the floor doing cartoons. And I went, "Wow, those are really funny. You had a good sense of humor. You may go somewhere, kid." And it turned out that the filmmaker was Homer Groening, of course, and the young son was Matt. And we've been friends ever since. In fact, I think it was about 15 years ago, we were in Annecy together, this mythical, beautiful animation festival in France. And we were out on a boat, this beautiful clear lake boat, and drinking wine and eating cheese, and Matt says to me, "You know, Bill, you should do something for The Simpsons." And I said, "Yeah, I think so. I would love it." And so he found me a spot on the TV where they come in and sit down on TV and watch TV. It's the opening of it. And I've been doing, I think, 6 or 7 of those. And I love doing them. They get seen all over the world. They're easy to do. They're funny. They're crazy. And the money's good, too. So I thank Matthew for that, and he's really been a big help for me, very good supporter of me.
Sounds like a beautiful friendship, actually.
Yeah, right.
So that was your Portland experience. So from PSU in the late 60s, you transferred to the School of Visual Arts in New York, the East Village, and you decided to stay.
I did. Well, I wanted to stay there anyway. It was really so exciting. Every just walk down the street and get a million ideas for cartoons. And I love that. I didn't stay with SVA for very long, I think 2 semesters. And I realized that I was able to go out and make a living. I didn't need to go to school anymore. So I quit and started selling my stuff. I was in New York Times, New Yorker, a lot of the men's magazines, Playboy, Penthouse, We,
Village Voice, Rolling Stone, National
Boy, yeah,
Lampoon.
National Lampoon, yeah. So I had a fairly nice career going as an illustrator, but I still miss the animation. That's what I really wanted to do. That's where I thought my talents were. That's what I really enjoyed watching, is my cartoons starting to move around. I thought that was really a fun thing to do. So in 85, I did this little short film called Your Face. And actually it was 86. And it just took off. I don't know why. It's my first animated film, and it just took off like crazy. It became such a big hit. And I called up all my newspapers and magazines, and I said, I'm quitting print. I'm going into animation. And they laughed at me. And I said, no, I think I can make it. And they said, you're gonna be back. You'll never make it in animation. It's dead. Nobody does animation.
Yeah, so you mentioned Boomtown. Before you did Your Face, you teamed up with Jules Feiffer, who had his regular cartoon in the Village Voice, and
Right.
you basically animated a short film for him called Boomtown.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and the story was, when I went to School of Visual Arts, I wanted to learn animation. I wanted to know how to put a film together, because I didn't know how to do that. And the teacher, the animation teacher, knew nothing about it. He was not didn't care about that, and I really did. So that's why I quit. But when I got this offer to do Boomtown, I told him, they wanted me to direct it. I said, well, I don't know how to make an animated film. I've never learned that. I said, don't worry, we'll hire someone to walk you through all the steps of making an animated film. So this became my animation school. Her name was Connie D'Antonio, and she would really knew everything about animation. So even though I got paid nothing for working on this film, I storyboarded it, I designed the characters, I did the layouts. I did all the animation. I did a lot of the coloring of the animation, and a lot of the production of putting the drawings on acetate so it would show through to the background. Even though I got paid zero for that, I really felt that I was learning how to make an animated film. And after that, Boomtown was quite a success. It was short. It was 8 minutes long, I think. I won a bunch of prizes. And also, it played in about 100 cinemas all over America. So it was really kind of a success. But the main important thing for me was I knew how to make a film. And that's when I made Your Face. And that's what started my whole career.
It's interesting you're saying that this animation class at SVA wasn't really into narrative animation, but I suppose the late 60s and early 70s were a big time for experimental animation. Some people who are not fans call it draw a squiggle, make it wiggle.
No, that's exactly what he was. He didn't care about storytelling or narrative or even beautiful drawing. He just wanted to do something experimental, and that left me out. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell stories and make people laugh.
So, yeah, Your Face was nominated for an Academy Award. It came out in, yeah, 86, around the time of the animation studio revival of the late
Yes,
1980s.
that's right. Yeah, that was a big time. Disney with Little Mermaid and Lion King and those films, which were huge, huge hits. Then you had Akira from Japan, which was also a big hit. That brought in a lot of the Japanese animation. Then you had MTV, which started showing a lot of really crazy animation. That gave a lot of people their starts. People like Henry Selick and a lot of people who were sort of independent animators worked for Spike and Mike and people like that. So it was really an exciting time to get involved in animation.
You had been commissioned to work up a pilot for an MTV show called Helter Shelter.
Yes, it didn't. Some reason it didn't click. I don't know why. I thought it was pretty funny. In fact, PC Bay helped with that one too. He did a little bit of dialogue, but it didn't click. And then along comes the Beavis and Butthead, and man, that just took off. That was so popular. But in a way, it was good because I don't know if I'd like getting in a weekly drudge of churning out all these films every month, churning out an animated film. I like the freedom of being independent, making what I want to make, when I want to make it, how I want to make it. And I know there's a lot of there were a lot of restrictions at MTV of certain nudity and violence and things like that. So I don't think it would have worked out for me anyway.
What was Helter Shelter all about?
It was about these four young, it was sort of like Friends, but for younger people, these four teens living in a dorm together, and the craziness that happens with them and their different personalities. Yeah, I thought it was funny. But apparently my humor wasn't, oh, I know what, the feedback was, it wasn't a good film for 14-year-old girls. Apparently that was the main audience for MTV at that time, was 14-year-old girls. So mine kind of flew above their radar.
It's interesting because it sounds like this British 80s sitcom that MTV would run called The Young Ones. It sounded like an American version of that.
It is a lot like The Young Ones. Yeah, that's a good parallel. A little bit of trivia. I just did a film for Weird Al, Pokemania, it's called. But anyway, apparently TikTok censored my animation. The animation is not that sexual, really. But out of all the animation, there's really good animation in there. I think it's about 12 or 15 other animators putting stuff in there. But they put us... A sign. I actually haven't seen it, but they put a sign restricted. You can't see my film.
You are known for sexy animation.
Yeah, that's it. So I must be doing something right, right?
Well, again, the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology is happening for 5 days in August, the 21st through the 25th. It all takes place at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. There will be screenings and events in the auditorium, the planetarium, and the Empirical Theater. And the Oregon premiere of Bill's new animated film, Slide, takes place on Thursday, August 22nd, and is followed by a reception where you, Bill, will be handing out autographs and drawings.
Yes, I'll be drawing for everybody. That's my pleasure. I love doing that. I love drawing. Pencil and paper. That's my thing.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today with cartoonist, filmmaker, and independent animator, Bill Plimpton. Bill, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I'll see you in a few weeks, right?
Yes. And for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about your films in the meantime, where would they look?
Plimptoons.com, right?
Yep, and the YouTube channel.
YouTube channel, yeah.
Plimptoons.com. And yeah. The website for the festival is pdxfestofcinema.com. Well, thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at wordsandpicture.